3% of U.S. adults, that is 76 million people, have been exposed to alcohol in the family. They grew up with or married an alcoholic or a problem drinker or had a blood relative who was an alcoholic or problem drinker. 62% of high school students, seniors, report they have been drunk. Now, that's we're getting right here at the senior parties that are going on or have went on, and you got graduation coming up, and I know it's higher. This statistics was taken, I believe, 8 years ago. This is the recent one that I have found, and I'm sure if you spent more time researching, you can probably find some up-to-date stuff, but this what I came up with. And it says 31% say they have had five or more drinks in a row during the last 2 weeks. These are these seniors that we're still talking about. It says 3.1 million Americans, approximately 1.4% of the population 12 and older, receive treatment for alcoholism and alcohol-related problems in 1997. Treatment peaked among people between the ages of 26 to 34. It says an estimated of 6.6 million children under 18 live in households with an at least one alcoholic parent. About 43% of adults in the U.S., that is 76 million, have had a parent, child, sibling, or spouse who is an alcoholic in your family. Greater than 50% of grown-ups in the U.S. have had knowledge of someone in their immediate family that has or still is drinking alcohol. This is right here, 25.9 of underage alcoholic abusers drank 47.3% of the total amount of alcohol consumed by drinkers underneath the legal age. That is under the age of 21. And it says an estimated 43% of U.S. adults have had someone related to them who is presently or was an alcoholic. 40% of alcoholism is passed down through the gene pool, the generations after generations. It is passed down. Now we're going to go, folks, we're going to kick it up a tad bit here. We're going to do the effects of the workplace. It says one out of every five alcoholics who attempt to stop drinking without medical intervention end up dying as a result of alcohol withdrawal delirium. It says people who live with an alcoholic take 10 times the amount of sick leave than individuals who are not exposed to alcoholism. 4/5 of them also claim their productivity on the job is reduced as a result of the living situation. Go figure that out. The living situation, that means there's always fighting going on and, you know, medical problems and everything of the sort. And now we're going to go to the effects of our health. It says drinking excessively year after year may cause pancreatitis or an inflamed pancreas. Mm-hmm. Side effects for pancreatitis includes extreme abdominal pain and abdominal weight loss. These can lead to death. Alcoholism improves a drinker's odds of developing cancer of the throat, larynx, liver, colon, kidney, rectum, and esophagus. If it may also contribute to immune system irregularities, brain damage, harming an unborn baby, and psoriasis of the liver. 3 million of U.S. citizens older than 60 abuse alcohol or require it to function normally. Here we go. Effects of the finances that alcoholism takes place. Alcohol dependence and abuse costs U.S. approximately, listen to this, folks, $220 billion in 205, and which is now greater than that right there. That 220 billion is more today. That was in 205. This is 2012, and it's higher than that. And like I said, I don't know the exact figures on it. For the sake of comparison, this was greater than the amount of money spent to combat cancer, which that was 196 billion, and obesity was 133 billion in the year 205. The Institute of Medicine of Natural Academy of Science estimates that alcohol and alcohol abuse in the United States cost society from $40 to $60 billion annually due to the lost production, health, and Medicare, motor vehicle accidents, violent crimes, and social programs that respond to alcohol problems. Here is the effects of alcoholism around you. It says right here, it says one half of all the traffic fatalities and one third of all traffic injuries are related to the abuse of alcohol. Accidents and suicides that are associated with alcohol problems are especially prominent in the teens. I'll read that again. It says accidents and suicides that are associated with alcohol problems are especially prominent in the teen years. Alcohol contributes to 100,000 deaths annually, making it the third leading cause of preventive mortality in the United States after tobacco and diet activity patterns. Studies of suicide victims in the general population show that 20% are alcoholics. It says one third of the alcoholic deaths are from suicides or accidents such as drownings, head injuries from falling, or car crashes. Alcohol contributes to 100,000 deaths annually, making it the third leading cause of preventive death in the country. 41% of all traffic facilities, yes, 41% of all traffic facilities are related to alcohol. You know, I tell you folks, you know, we got to look at this. This is something that is back in the 20s and the 30s, alcoholism and alcohol. That was just a you know, accepted thing. A thing that was saying, it's what they all do. You know, it's okay to go over and have a little drink. It's okay to have a little knock off the edge, take something off, you know, a few glasses of wine. You know, a few glasses of wine or a couple hits of Jack Daniels just in the evening, just to knock things off. You know, that's all it is. It's just for, you know, to get the stress released out of our life. And it's wrong, folks. You can't do that stuff. Look at all the our penitentiaries and jails are filled with people that did stupid actions and stupid things because they were under the influence of drugs and alcohol. You know, that's what we got to look at. Why is the penitentiaries full? Huh? Come on. You know, they had to do something stupid out of the ordinary, and how you got doing that is because they were under the influence. I forgot the statistics on how many in the penitentiary and jails that has done this, but there is quite a few percentage. It's high, like 80-90% that was under the influence of some type of narcotic or alcohol. They're all the same because it's all hallucinogenic. It gets you to do things, loosens you up, and it'll make you do things that you normally wouldn't do. This is what we've got to fight against, and it is a spiritual issue that we're going to get into. You know, you can say, you know, you can put the plug in the jug, the Alcoholics Anonymous say. That is true. But there's more to it, and that's what we're going to get into here. And then, you know, I'm going to give you right now the characteristics of the alcoholic and the drug addict. The person that is so dependent on this stuff because they don't know how to cope with life, because they've got problems, they don't know how to deal with it, because their parents and their parents and on down the line didn't teach them how to deal with problems in life. And the characteristics of the alcoholic and drug addict is low self-esteem, they're hurt, anger, bitterness, resentment, hatred, lonely, full of unforgiveness, unable to cope with stressful situations in life, and rejection. We've got to look at this, folks. We've got to look at this. I'll read it one more time so you can get this down. You know, it's worth repeating again. The characteristics of an alcoholic and drug addict is low self-esteem, hurt, anger, bitterness, resentment, their hatred, lonely, unforgiveness, unable to cope with stressful situations in life. And the biggest one of all is rejection. And later on, I believe in part two, we're going to deal with that little demon. It's called the demon of rejection. And this is what is so important. We've got to look at this. It's a spiritual standpoint, folks. You can hit it in the natural. You can, like I said, you can just say, well, you just need to stop doing this, doing that, and do something else different than what you're doing. Well, that's fine and dandy, but you're going to still end up doing it sooner or later. So we're going to get into why makes the person do these things? What made me, when I was out in the world for 21 years, what made me go out here and drink and drug every day? Well, from a voice of experience, I can tell you, is because I didn't really have a father figure. Yes, my father was there at home. I had a father figure that was there, but he was a workaholic because he wanted to work. He didn't want to raise a family. I love my father. He's deceased now and in the grave, and I love him dearly, but he didn't know how to deal with issues that came along in life. Well, you see, that goes back to his father and on down the generational line. It just gets brought down there until I came along and broke the curse. I broke it. I stopped it. Now, I did stop drinking and I did stop drugging. But I had to do that when I had to come to the point where I had to say, you know, enough is enough of this garbage. I'm tired of living this way. Let's don't do it no more. And I didn't know. And see, the thing is, and I will tie this in also into the teachings later on, but I'm just telling you right now, see, that 21 years when I was out there drugging and drinking, there was no one. No Christian. Hello. Hello, Christian that is out here listening today. Pastors, evangelists, prophets, prophetess, all you folks that are out here, did you know? And the disciples that are out here. Hello. I'm talking to you. It's here in the computer that is listening through these speakers. I'm talking to you directly because, see, no one came up to me and witnessed. Nobody told me there was a way out. Nobody told me that there was a way out and his name was Jesus Christ. So what I had to do, I talked to a relative of mine and I said, man, I'm so messed up, I gotta get out of this situation. I don't know what to do. And it was my aunt, and she says, I'll make a phone call, and she did, and it was a treatment center because I was so far strung out, I didn't know what to do. Again, like I say, there was nobody around. There was none there. And so she made that phone call. And when she did, I was admitted into a treatment center. Make a long story short, I'll just end this so we can go on with the teaching. The Lord's wanting me to tell you this, so I'm going to spend some time here telling you about it. Made that decision. I made that surrender. I said, I'm tired of living in this situation that I'm in, and I want out. There's got to be a different way. Lord, I need your help. That's all I knew to say was Lord. I knew there was somebody. I heard it in church one time. So I said, Lord, if you're real, I want you to come and make yourself real to me. So in that treatment center, yes, he did come. And yes, he did reveal himself by spirit to me, not by body, but by spirit. And I turned my will and my life completely over to him. I surrendered all. See, this is what, folks, you got to do. Church folks, you got to surrender all. You got to get out there and you got to surrender it. That means turn over. I turned my life and my will over to the care of God as I understood him at that time, which was Jesus Christ, still is God of all. I turned it over. He's God in the flesh. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Turned it all over, my will and my life, 110% over to him. And I tell you, things got better, but it got more interesting because something came alive inside of me. which I didn't have before. You see, I was that little boy at the nudist colony, looking from the outside in, trying to look into the nudist colony, so to speak, which is a metaphor that I'm using here, then looking through that little knothole into hell. That's how close I was to the gates of hell, folks. Until that day, and then I turned my will and my life completely over to carry him, that's when I became a child of God and into the kingdom of God. And he paid that price for me. He paid that price for you. That's the thing. That's what did it, folks. That's what the whole thing is. No, it wasn't a bed of roses. Like people says, it's not a da-da-da-da-da-da. You're now saved and born again. You'll have no more problems. Let me tell you, folks, that was the beginning of the problems. But I had one thing, which was Jesus Christ to be with me, to guide me and show me and lead me through the fiery furnace of life. I could be like the Hebrew children. I went in there, all the stuff, and I hit it head on. You see, when I was out in the world, I would go around the problem. I would figure everything out, how to undermine it. I would try to dig underneath it, go up, fly over the top of it, so to speak, which is just metaphor, but I'm saying I would not take the problem head on and deal with situations in life because I was foggy. I was in the fog of it, folks. I did not know how to deal with problems in life. Because my dad didn't tell me. He didn't show me. Jesus is the way. See, he didn't tell me none of that stuff. That's the reason why you got to raise your kids that way, folks. That are born, you people that you're born again, tell them there's a way out. Tell them and love on them, hug on them, spend time with them. Do things with them. Don't kick them to the curb. Tell them the kids are, you know, not to be seen but heard, or however it goes. I forgot now. But, you know, that's what they was raised. You say something, they'd knock your teeth out, which I had that happen a couple, three times when I was growing up. You need to learn not to say stuff. Keep your mouth shut. You just be seen, not heard. That's what's so important. Today, we love on our kids. That's what Jesus, he loves on you and I. He puts his arms around us, even though when Mike Bradford falls down and busts his head, metaphorically speaking, on the concrete of life, of things that goes on, I just don't sit there and whine and kick my legs and whine like a little baby. I'd get back up and I'd do what God has called me to do. Yes, we're all going to fall down, folks, that have been born again. It's important to walk that way. That's what it's all about. It's turning your will and your life completely over to him. It's surrender. Surrender is to yield to the power of another, which is Jesus Christ. He paid that price for you and I. We've yielded ourselves to him. Like I said, you truly get born again. You just don't say, "Now repeat after me, Fred. These prayer of these words, repeat after me." No, you go to the Lord and you get real with him. Like I'm talking to you right now through your speakers or your headphone or on a CD. You're hearing my voice. This is what you got to get real. You got to get real with God and become true. That's how you become truly, truly saved. You mean it from your heart. You don't repeat after me prayers, folks. That's the reason why the church is so screwed up, so messed up, and that's the reason why we've got alcohol and drug addictions in the church body today, because you got the pastor Whistlebritches. He's up here sleeping with Sister Bucketmouth. And you got all this stuff going on. This is not what God's won. That is not holy. He's won it. It's holiness or hell, folks. And you do that by turning your will and your life completely over to him. Our mind is the battlefield, folks. That's where the war rages, is between our ears. That gray matter that sits in that skull between on top of your shoulders. This is where the battle's at. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean there, Pastor Mike? The battlefield's my mind. Well, who's talking in your head, folks? You got yourself talking to you in your own voice. You've got the devil talking to you in your own voice, and you've got the Holy Spirit, he's talking to you in your own voice. Now, how in the world are you going to distinguish whose voice is who? You may ask. How do I know that? Well, you get in the Word of God, folks. You get in the Word of God and you get that stinking thinking. See, that Word of God will program your mind like a, it's like a putting a new hard drive in your brain, and then you start reprogramming it with the Word of God. Started putting all the data in there, filling it up. So every time that you want John 3:16, it's John 3:16 is going to come out. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whoever perish should ever have everlasting life. So you've got to have that in your memory recall of your brain, folks. The only way that you can put that data in there is start reading it. You start listening to it, the MP3s. You can get it on the internet. I mean, there's so many different ways out there now. There's no excuse. Well, Pastor Mike, I'm just so busy. I'm out here just going 90 to nothing. But you need to slow down, number one, and get in that. Your stinking thinking will make you trapped in the kingdom of darkness. It'll keep you bound because you want to think on negative thoughts. Continually stay in the Word. Like I say, when you continually stay in the Word, that's when the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, will bring revelation to you through His Word. That is in Luke 14:33. It says, so likewise, be of you that forsake not all that he hath, but he cannot be my disciple. We've got to stay in that. You've got to stay in the Word of God. You've got to stay continually in front of you, continually being in it, so you can have that. But we're going to talk a little bit further here on some more symptoms. And the biggest thing with an alcoholic, besides the spirit of rejection, is the spirit of pride. The spirit of pride is the self-centeredness. See, when I was out in the world, folks, for them 21 years, I was the king. I, Mike Bradford, was it. All for me for none, and me for all. It was, everything was for me. Every motive that I did when I was out there in 21 years was all orchestrated and motivated so I could get 110% gain out of it. I didn't care who I stepped on. I didn't care what I did because of my self-centeredness. I was in love with me. Yes. Good old fleshly Mike. That's who I was in love with. I didn't want no other one to be in love with. I didn't want anybody else on my throne that I was sitting on. How dare I put God? What even think put God on my throne? Well, see, I had to dethrone myself by when I got born again. And when I got born, truly born again, I put Christ on the throne, God in the flesh. Put Him in there. See, pride, it's the thing that is the stopper, folks, of an alcoholic or any type of an addict, because they're putting themselves, they want to feel in control, feel important. They've got to be operating in all the senses, you know, our senses, our smell, our feel and sight and everything, our hearing. We've got to touch, we're touchy-feely people, you know, when we're in the flesh. But when we're in pride and self-centeredness, they're brothers and sisters. They go hand in hand. It's a Proverbs 3:14 says, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, gain thereof than fine gold. Understanding this is rather to be chosen than silver and all the treasures, the kinds of their favorites. I'm telling you, you've got to not have that pride. It's not what it's about, folks. It's not about having gold and silver and all the stuff. It's about nothing except Jesus Christ. It says, pride, it is the way of the upright to avoid sin. And anything that looks or leads to sin, because it says right here, it says Isaiah 35:8 says, and a highway shall be thereof and a way. It shall be called the way of holiness. Uh-oh, the way of holiness. Remember me telling you that earlier here in the broadcast? It's holiness or hell, folks, and that's holiness is not, I'm telling you right now, the definition of holiness is not running around with the women and with a bun in their hair and long sleeves of dress and a long dress down to the floor. That is not holiness, and not wearing earrings or any type of jewelry or anything. That's not holiness, folks. That's religion. Stinking, stinking religion. And it'll kill you and send you straight to hell. You need to get out of that. If you're caught in into that type of stuff, you need to flee from it and get into the trueness of the Spirit of Christ. It says in here, I'll say it again. And a highway shall be there, and a way it shall be called, the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be forth hose the way faring man. Those fools shall not err therein. The way of holiness. In other words, you've got to have a lifestyle of holiness. A lifestyle of holiness is the only way you're going to find out what a lifestyle of holiness, folks, is you get into the Word of God. And that's doing being a righteous person like Noah, like Daniel. I mean, you could go on with all the characters in the Bible that were portrayed into the Word of God. They were all walking in holiness. They were walking, they kept the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. They kept him first. In the Old Testament, they focused on God. That's all they wanted. They wanted God. All the prophetesses and all the people and lay people, they wanted God. And you know, the Israelites, they were so hard-hearted and stiff-necked. I call it like a volleyball. They'd go back and forth, back and forth. They'd follow God for a while, and then their flesh would take over, and then they would be a flesh mite. They'd go out here and just do the things of the flesh, and it cost them a lot, because Moses came down from the mountain, and he seen them fleshing out, having orgies, drinking, and everything else that was going on around there, and drunkenness, and adultery was going on. What happened? They made the divide. Who's going to be with God? Come over here. Who's going to serve self? Stay over there. Well, whoever served self stayed on that side of the land. The earthquake came and swallowed them all up, killed them all. So, you know, that stuff could happen as well today, folks. And it says, to depart from evil is understanding. So, to get rid of that pride, you've got to have understanding. And the only way you're going to do that is by getting in the Word of God, and you'll kill that spirit of pride. And it says right here, it is the care of the upright to preserve their own soul, that they not be polluted with sin, and that by the troubles of the world, that they may not be put out of the possession of them, especially that they not perish forever. It says right here, Matthew 16:26 says, for if a man is profited, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Tell you folks, that's about getting rid of that pride. See, you can't get born again if you've got all that pride dripping off of you, dripping wet. See, I had to be broken down. I had to have some experiences in my life to bring me down to my bottom. You know, everybody's got a bottom. I mean, in other words, what I'm saying is not everybody's got something they're setting on. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an experience of life where you're down, the farthest down in the dung pit you can go in life. Man, you're down there where the whale dung's at the bottom of the ocean, at the bottom of the cesspool of life. You're getting put into the penitentiary, or let's say you've done something stupid and you're almost getting ready to go to court to get put into the penitentiary. I mean, that's as low as you can go, but everybody's bottom is different. The next person that is drinking, they might have to get into a wreck to get their literally the hell scared out of them and to get into the kingdom of God. That's like Apostle Paul. Saul, he became Paul afterward when he got blinded by the light of the Lord. Paul had to get blinded because he was so full of pride, he thought he was doing the right thing, but he was so much into religion, folks. This is the body of Christ today. So much into religion. you've got a small percentage of the remnant church that are out here that are doing the things of the Lord, the signs, wonders, and miracles. Did you know, and I'll say this, this is a little bit of a rabbit trail, I'll come back on. You know the reason why there's so much religion now into the body of Christ, folks? Hello? I'll say it again. Do you know why there's so much of the spirit of religion in the body of Christ today? You say, well, I'm waiting for you to tell me, Pastor Mike. Well, I'm going to tell you. It is because nobody wants to get out and do signs, wonders, and miracles of the New Testament. They want to keep that money coming in. They want to keep all this stuff flowing, but they don't want to step out of the box, folks. They're caught in a box. The box is religion. The box is the church. You're caught up in it, and you don't want to come out of it because it's a money maker. It's all the money I can make here. Swindle everybody, you know, not all of them are like that. I'm not saying anything bad about churches, folks. I'm just letting you know the majority, and we are the minority, the ones that are really truly serving God. And that's what it says is going to happen in the end times, which I'm sure Michael Parker, evangelist Michael Parker, is going to elaborate on in a broadcast one of these days. And you know, the things that are happening today, folks, this is the reason why if you're an alcoholic, drug addict, if you've got any type of addiction, I don't care what it is, gambling, it's all the same symptoms, folks. You just want to put another spin on it. I'm obese. I'm an overeater. I like to eat. I'm not saying I'm obese, but you know what I'm trying to say? And if you are obese, God's going to heal you. God's going to take care of you if you seek His will and seek His face. See, this is the thing, folks. We want to get caught up in, because the pride has got us distracted. See, this was sent in by the enemy through generations and through families to distract the disciple. If you're being distracted from a ball game, okay, folks, if I paid $200 a ticket and I took my friend with me, and all my friend, he was so hyped up on Mountain Dew, all he could do was yap, yap, yap. Guess what? Two things would happen. I would ask him to politely leave, or I'd put some gray tape over his mouth because I don't want to be distracted from the ball game. Okay, you see when the metaphor that I just painted? You want to watch this ball game because you just bought these tickets. You're not going to waste that $200 tickets. Well, why can't you do that with God, folks? He's talking all the time, trying to get your attention, trying to get you to move out of the situation that you're in, but you're so much into pride and you're stubborn. Stubborn as a mule because you want to do it your way. That's self-centeredness. See, that's another cousin of self-centeredness. It's stubbornness. Stubborn as a Missouri mule. Hee-haw, hee-haw. You know, got to show me. Well, no, you don't have to show me anything. I just want to be what the Word of God has to say. I believe everything that the front of the book to the back of the book, all 66 books of the Bible, I believe every bit of it. In my heart, not in my head. And I want to know more. See, this is the thing is, when you're so much into pride, you don't want to know more about God. You want to say there is no God. You want to go out and do all this other stuff. Well, there's no God. That stuff is stupid. Religion, that God, if there was a God, blah, 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 blah. You've heard all the stuff, people. I'm not going to go into it. When they start saying stuff like this, these people are in pride. They think they're everything. They're the philosophical thinkers that are out there. Well, guess what? Your philosophical thinking and all your other stuff is going to butt. You will send yourself to hell because of it. Because of your pride will send you straight, literally, to hell. God isn't going to send you to hell. You're going to send yourself there to hell because you're in pride. So I'm telling you, folks, and I encourage you, get rid of it. We're going to go on talking some more here. Pride will have to, like I say, pride will have to fall. Those who have a, listen to this, those who have a haughty spirit, think of themselves better than others, will affront God with their pride, disquiet others, and will be brought down either by repentance or ruin. It is an honor to honor God and humble ourselves before God, because He's the one that made each and every one of us. We were the ones that got so tied up with, back to the family again, folks. The Lord's having me just like a tennis ball. I'm back over to the family. Is when the father isn't present, or a male figure, I'll retract that statement. A male spiritual figure. Because you could have a male figure in the family, and he'd be totally in the world and not even doing what he's supposed to be doing. And he says he's a disciple of Christ, and he's out doing this stuff. Yeah, he's not qualified. That's not the qualifications of a disciple. The qualifications of a disciple is being humble, meek, lowly, you know, just waiting upon and helping people, doing things. Instead of saying, my four and no more, you know, come on. Are you serious? Of what's going on out here? So we got to wake up. Going on down here. It says, look on everyone that is proud and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. It is the act of justice that those who have lifted themselves up should be laid low. And we see that with Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar. We see that in the end of the Bible. They were high and made low. It is a God's job to punish those who are proud, not ours. I'll read it again. It is God's job, not Mike Bradford's job, but God's job to punish those who are proud, and it's not our job. One is most proud and insolent and haughty right before their destruction, before they fall. The more they start getting, oh, I'm this or I'm that, and they're gonna fall hard, folks. You will fall hard when you start lifting yourself up higher than God Himself. And it said, it is a sign that they're actually at the right door, the witness that they can become born again. When somebody is that, it's right at the brink. You could go either way. You could fall hard, or you could go and heed to the things of God. It says before, in Proverbs 16:19, better is it to be of a humble spirit than with spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Those that are divide the spoil are commonly proud. They value themselves and despise others, and their minds rise with their condition, and those therefore that share rich in this world have need to be charged that they be not highly minded. You know, we go on to say here in 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And those that are proud, they put themselves forward, they put forth themselves, thrust, shove, scramble for preferment. You know, they want to get to the head of the line, or they want to get to the head of the job. I don't care who I come forth to step over at the job, I'm going to go ahead and step over them and do and crush them and say bad things about them, assassinate their character to get up higher on the political ladder at work. Try to get in there. And it says also the world at will and the ball of their foot. They will go and step on your throat. They will say things about you and I so they can make themselves look good, but they are very proudful. See, and this is why we've got to come to humility, folks. Humility is what God has instructed you and I to do. Humbly, through it should expose us to the contempt in this world, qualifies us for His gracious visits, preparing us for His glory. See, I'm trying to be having a humble spirit. Trying to say, you know, I'm going to help everybody that I can that the Lord tells me to help and shows me how to help them and where to help them. And that's what's so important. So, you know, we have got to be just going forth more and more. I tell you, it is so, so important to keep doing that, of being humble. We are told to love not the world, neither the things that are in this world, Be crucified of the world, be mortified to the things, to the affairs and indictments of it. Now, let me tell you something, folks. With this here in the body of Christ, hello, Pastor Whistlebritches, Sister Bucketmouth, and Prophetess Know-It-All, and Prophetess Prophet Doom, I'm going to tell you all, an evangelist thingamajig, let me just tell you this. This is just what it's going to be. You cannot go around out here in this world thinking you're bringing the world into the church. You can't go over there and let me tell you this. This is what goes on, folks. You're bringing in the things into the house of God that don't need to be in there. You're bringing in strange fire. Prophet Know-It-All, he brings in strange fire because he thinks he knows it all. Okay? He don't know diddly squat because he's bringing in that strange fire, that strange anointing, and everybody's thinking it's of God, and they're following him like the Pied Piper to hell. He's leading them, toodly-doo, toodly-doo, you know, and just tooting his little horn up here at the pulpit, and they're all just flogging around. They're flipping the $100 bills at the floor, and you've seen this on TV, folks. I've seen it, this prosperity garbage. It is from the pits of hell. That this is not humility. Humility is taking going out. I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm getting ready to go in to the church here right now. I'm gonna do some spanking in love. But you know, folks, do you go out here and you witness to people? Do you witness to the people at work? Do you get off your high duff and go into Walmart's? And what do? You just go in there and get two loaves of bread and a jug of milk, and you're out there and you're over there looking at your watch and tapping on it. Come on. I got to get back to the house. Whoa, I got to get back to the house. You get back there, guess what? And you say you're a disciple of Christ? You just missed maybe five people in Walmart that you could have witnessed to. That's a prime opportune place to be witnessing is there at Walmart's. Or if you go to Kroger's or wherever, grocery store, gas station, restaurant, I don't care where it is. Wherever you go, folks, you are supposed to be witnessing the truth of the word, of the gospel. Not the truth of the word of the prophetess or the prophet or whoever, prophet Whistlebritches or evangelist thingamajig. I'm telling you, who are you going around repeating stuff after? You're supposed to be repeating what the word of God has to say because you're supposed to be in there teaching it. Seeing you be leading people. If you were humble enough, these alcoholics, I'm telling you, and drug addicts, these people with these addictions, when they get born again, guess what? They get set on fire. You know why they get set on fire, folks? You know why I get all wound up? It's because Jesus Christ saved me from hell. Because I made the choice. I, Mike Bradford, made the choice to surrender my will and my life 110%, and I'm not playing no games. Because when I was out in the world, I didn't play games, folks. I played for the blood. I played for the whatever I could get. I just turned it around. I'm playing with God, and not playing, but I'm here in the battle with God, trying to take as many souls to heaven as I can take with me by just presenting the gospel. I'm laying out a feast upon the table here this evening, and you can come to the Holy Ghost buffet and eat what you want to eat. But I'm telling you, there's only a few dishes out here for you to choose from. There's not 738 different dishes. You've got just only a few dishes to choose from, and you will get filled up if you get here and you do what God has called you to do. That's what the real preaching's about. That's what real spreading the gospel about. It's not about talking about the Nephilim. It's not talking about a numerology. It's not talking about all those other gobbledygook junk that's floating around out here about numbers. I don't care if it's just myself and Michael Parker, Evangelist Michael Parker, here listening here tonight. I could care less because Jesus Christ has ordained this broadcast. I have learned from the past and experience, I'm doing it when the Lord says to do it. I talk to people all the time, folks. I can't stop talking because I'm so fired up about Jesus Christ, what he's done for me. He paid the price that I could not pay at Calvary. And I was headed to hell, folks. If it wasn't for my mother and my grandmother and my aunt praying for me, I would be in hell today. And I wouldn't be able to be doing this message or any messages over the internet because I would be roasting in hell on a spit right now and having those demons torment me for forever. And yes, that does take place, folks. Well, there's such a good God. Why would he Mike Parker, why would God have people roast in hell forever? That's not a loving God. Well, I'm telling you, you put yourself there, partner or ma'am. Now, I'm getting a little stern here, but this is what it's about. You're going to put yourself in on that spit in hell because you have decided to say that I'm a nut and there is no God, and I could go on other stuff. That is all false, folks. There is a God. Jesus is real. He talks to me continually. He talks to Evangelist Michael Parker. He talks to other people that are out here that I know personally. He talks to them. He lives inside of me and you. But we want to be, when we're not born again, we want to be truly born again. Because there are a lot of people that say they're born again, but they're not. That's the thing. They're not. They've been told a lie. You need to check out your salvation, folks. You need to get on the right track with the Word of God and get out and just start being humble. Being humble. The prohibition of the worldly love or lust is not ordained of God. It is not of the Father, but rather of the world. God calls us from the lust and love of this world. Come on, folks. There's so many people out here in the body of Christ, or if you're an alcoholic, you're going to have to get out of the world. Get born again. Then you start hearing these people saying, well, they got all these adult play toys. And I'm not talking to other stuff. I'm talking about motorcycles and all those other things that are going on out here. They got all these gidget gadgets and all this stuff. They want to go to the ball games. There's nothing wrong with going to ball games and doing all that other stuff, but is that your main thrust in life, folks? Do you make money to go out there and buy all these toys all the time? What is your main thrust in life about it? If you're truly born again and you've been set free, you should be fired up and not let the enemy come with your stinking thinking because you haven't let go of the past. The past is your boat anchor. That's what the Lord's saying tonight. Your past is your boat anchor. The world is a super. That means to seize and hold by force or without legal authority of our affection. He's to put a boat anchor in your pocket to trip you up, to try to trip me up. See, he tried to trip me up and almost succeeded. But guess what? Right there at the end, you see, God didn't leave me in checkmate, folks. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He won't leave you in checkmate if you're an alcoholic or a drug addict or any type of addiction out there. He will not leave you in an addiction if you want out of it. What lengths are you willing to go to get out of that addiction that you're in? You're putting yourself in that, and you can take yourself out by a choice. Everything is by a choice. You are being manipulated by demons, folks. Demons are real. Even when you get born again, demons are still real. They're still there to torment you, to get you to trip up. They're sitting on your shoulder, talking into your ear. Well, Mike Bradford, it's okay. You can go out and have you a couple glasses of wine. Who's going to know? You're in Seattle, Washington. There's nobody around that you know. Now, don't tell me you've had other people's. You know what I'm talking about when them voices start telling stuff. Get you to do stupid stuff. Then you're thinking, yeah. And you start talking with the voices you see in your head. Then you start answering that voice that just said that. And yeah, I think I will go over and I'm just going to order two glasses of wine. Well, guess what, folks? Two glasses of wine ends up in about five bottles of wine, and you're so stinking drunk you can't get up out of the chair to walk to your motel room because you're drunk. It's to trip you up. And I could use other metaphors that happens, but it's real deal. These demons talk to you. It's what are you going to do about it? Are you going to say, take a hike, Jack? Take a hike, you foul devil. You will take a hike. You will not torment me in my mind anymore. 2 Corinthians, I'm going to read it right now. We've got the word open. This is what 2 Corinthians 10:5 says. This is what's going to keep you set free if you keep it in your mind and keep it in your spirit, mainly in your spirit. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now go figure that. Now how are you going to cast down any evil imagination? If you don't know the Word of God, how are you going to keep? You got to know the Word of God, folks. That's the reason why I'm saying you get born again. This drug addict or anybody with the addiction again, it gets born again, truly gets born again. You're going to have to get into the Word. Put down all the other gobbledygook stuff that you've been doing and get in there and start doing what He's called you to do. But Pastor Mike, I just don't have the time. I'm so busy, I just don't have time to do that. Well, they have MP3 players. You can go download it. You can get CDs, put in a CD player, put it in the car as you're driving down the road. You can do a lot of things, folks. But what lengths are you willing to go to obtain it? See, this is what's happening in the body of Christ. It's too much effort. I want the magic wand treatment. Da 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 da. Magic wand treatment 105. Tap you on the shoulder 3 times. You're healed, Mike Bradford. You can go do whatever you want to go do. It doesn't work that way. Things of the world are distinguished in these three classes according to the three prominent indications of nature. You ready for it, folks? And this is how it works. This is the reason why you got to stay on top of the situation by the Word of God. It says right here, the lust of the eyes. The flesh, being distinguished from the eyes and the life, imports stuff to the body. The lust of the flesh is subjectively the humor and appetite of indulging fleshly pleasures. And objectively, and above all things, that excites and inflames the pleasures of the flesh. Lust is usually called luxury. Hello? I'll read it again. Lust is usually called luxury. It says here again, point two. Lust of the eyes. The eyes are delighting with the treasures. I mean, when we start seeing things, you know, the old cliche was, don't let your eyes overload your plate. You know what I'm saying? When you go to a buffet, just start getting, oh, you got too much, and then after a while you can't eat it all because your eyes got enlightened to the treasures of that food or that money or whatever. Riches and rich possessions are craved by an exaggerating eye. That's not the pronunciation of it. I butchered it up. Sorry, folks. Lust is usually called covetousness. Say that again. Lust is usually called covetousness, the pride of life. A vain mind craves all grandeur and pomp of a vain and glorious life. You want all the glimmer and the glitz. Look at me. I got all the bling. Yeah. You know, that's not what it's about, folks. That's the pride of life. It is an ambition and the thrust after honor and applause. Thank you, folks, for everything. You know, you got the whole crowd. You're over there. You're getting a case of the balloon head, you know. The more they applaud, the bigger your head gets. That's what it's about when you got the pride of life in you. It says, can also be called the disease. Ooh. Can also be called the disease of the ear, because it must be flattered with admiration and praise. A lot of that, boys, Mike. Yeah, Mike Bradford, you just done a great job over here on Consuming Fire Radio tonight. I thank you so much. Oh, hey, you know, and all this stuff. I'm not into that. I'm doing it because the Lord Jesus Christ has instructed me to do it. And yes, thank you all for the applause and everything. You know, I'm going to leave it at that. It says, objects of these appetites must be abandoned and renounced. That's how we get out of it, folks. It says, they are engaged and engrossed in the affection and desire of the flesh. and is not of the Father. The Father disallows them, and the world should keep them to itself. But you see, this is off my notes, the world is now creeped into the church because I'm not harping upon these people, but this is where the symptoms come from. Pastor Know-It-All, Evangelist Thingamajig, and all the others that I've mentioned, they're the ones that are bringing it in there for one purpose, to make money. Show me the money, honey. That's what they want. They want this money. They want all the glamour and the glitz and up-a-da-boo and thank you for the bling, you know, and all the money rolls that go along with it. Because they're snake oil salesmen. I'm going to paint a metaphor here in your mind. You've got this evangelist saying, if you give me $100, I'll send you a vial of the sands of the Red Sea. You send it to P.O. Box 000, Hale, Michigan. I'm telling you, folks, you will get mighty miracles when you open up the vial and sprinkle it upon your hand or upon the whatever, and you will have the miracles of God from the sands of the Nile or whatever it is. And you just send your $100, $999 over to, you know, that address. And you've got some guy that went down to Home Depot, got a bag of sand, and went over to some medical supply place and got a bunch of vials and brought it all together. And you got somebody in the back room with these little funnels, and they're pouring sand in there and mailing it off to all these people. That's a scam. It's going on. Snake oil salesman behind the pulpit. And they're saying they're man of God or a woman of God. They're not, folks. It's moneymaker. There's somebody, I'm not mentioning his name, but he's in the lower part of the United States, and he gets over one service alone, $50 million, and only uses over his whole month of his income into that church, uses less than 8% for missions. Now, there's a problem. There's a serious problem because of the things that we're talking about here today, and it's even in the body of Christ. That's what I'm saying. It's so ingrained in it because we've got the, here again, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life standing up on there. Not all. I'm saying not all, but the biggest majority on Sunday and Wednesday nights because they're not living a holy lifestyle. And that's what I'm saying. We have got to get back to the basics. We have got to get back to the basics of things when you become born again. Get out of that alcoholism that you're in, folks, or any type of addiction. This is just any. I was just using that subject here tonight to bring that forth to the people. And I just thank God for him being here this evening. I hope you all got something out of it. We're going to have part two. I'm going to give you a little interlude of part two when we do it, and you'll just have to watch the Facebook, Twitter, and other places. You'll see the events scheduled. But this is going to be on the spirit of rejection, and it's how do we overcome that spirit of rejection in our life. I'm going to read the first paragraph, and when I'm going to end up closing, and then we're going to open it up for discussion. And it says right here, rejection is an inner wound. The only way for it to be cleansed is through forgiveness. With someone is wounded or rejected, he or she must quickly forgive. Otherwise, an unclean spirit can gain entry because the wound is not being taken care of in the positive light. If you would, please bow your heads. We're going to end this and then open it up for discussion. Whoever wants to, I will say this. My Skype number that I am using is RevivalFire3. You want to get in on this conversation. If you want to have anything to say, you add me to your contacts, and I will bring you right on ASAP right after we get done doing a music selection. And I'm going to bow my head and we're going to go into prayer. Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus, I just thank you, Father God, that your word is being enlightened to the hearts of the people, and the fallow ground has been brought up and tilled over into their lives, and the Holy Spirit is working as I speak into the lives of the people that are there. And I just thank God for the ones that are here and the ones that are here in the archives as well, and the ones to come. I'm believing for their wholeheartedness of getting delivered and set free from any type of addiction that is in their life holding them back. I believe your word is going to produce fruit in their lives and be with them and guide and direct them. And also, I just thank you, Father God, for my co-host for being here this evening, for taking time out of his busy schedule to do what he's been doing behind the scenes. And I ask you to bless him mightily in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.
You've been listening to Mike Bradford with Consuming Fire Radio. This is Mike Parker with Prophecies of the End Times. Don't forget Fire of the Holy Ghost Broadcasting Network. If you'd like to be a part of our ministry team, email me at fireoftheholyghost@yahoo.com and forward us one of your sermons. We'd be more than happy to consider, pray over it, make you part of our ministry team. Got a music break for a few minutes. We'll be back for some discussion with Pastor Mike in regards to his message this evening.
Blood of Christ. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final
Music this evening has been provided by Worship Mob, and Worship Mob, you can download all 50 of their free, royalty-free music MP3s at their website, worshipmob.com. There's a link to it where you can download the music, and we want to personally thank Worship Mob for providing the music for Fire the Holy Ghost Broadcasting Network, for Prophecies of the End Times and Consuming Fire Radio. Just got word from Pastor Mike that we do have a caller that's going to be coming on here momentarily with us. So, Mike, if you want to set that conference call up right now, feel free to do so. And it looks like we might have it. I'm looking at my computer screen. And we do. We have Sister Missy Crabtree from in Michigan. Missy, can you hear me?
Missy.
She was there. She was active there for a second. Are you there,
Hello?
Missy? Nope. We lost her.
Yeah. Do you want to bring that caller back in, Michael?
Let's see. I think she's
Hello?
Back. There she is. Can you hear
Hi,
us?
Hi, sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
There's.
What you'll have to do, Missy, is turn off the player. So shut your Internet Explorer browser off, or just stop the player.
Or mute the player.
I don't even know what you mean.
Close out your browser and just leave Skype open.
Now?
Yes.
Yeah, very
good. Am I okay?
Yes, yeah, we can hear you loud and clear, Melissa Crabtree.
Okay, sorry.
What happens is that with the delay in the broadcast itself, when we're broadcasting, there's about a 5 to 6 second delay from when it's broadcasted from the computer system out into the network and to the server and then back to your computer. So you wind up hearing what's going on in the player and hearing me talk, and it gets, then you can hear feedback too. So that's why we ask you to close out your browser. So what's on your mind tonight, Missy?
Well, I just wanted to praise God for the message that he brought through Mike tonight.
Amen.
And then it moved me. And as far as, you know, when he was talking about the addictions, whether it's to alcohol or drugs, and to have that male spiritual figure, mm-hmm. I can't stress enough how important that is. And to just turn your life over to God and let him be in control. I've struggled with that, and as I wanted to share with Mike today, that I experienced something absolutely that was like an aha moment for me. In the field that I'm in, you're either up on your hours or you're down on the hours. And today, I went down on my hours, and instead of getting caught up in the emotion and about myself and my pride, I stopped myself and turned it over to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Because he's in control.
That's right.
And I believe that there's a reason, and he knows this reason, and maybe there's something better ahead. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I just needed to stop and hold still and just be still. But it was amazing to me, and each time I found myself thinking about it and worrying, it was just, nope. It's on you, God. I'm turning it over to you. I'm not going to get caught up in this. I'm not going to get upset. And it was a great feeling.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. You know, the enemy is speaking to you about that to get you going. Did you know he's classified as the original terrorist? It wasn't Al Qaeda. It wasn't all the other people that are over there fighting. No, it's right there between your ears. That's why it's home front. Home front battle. You were having a home front encounter engaging the enemy, and you engaged it well. And you've learned a lesson how to keep engaging the enemy when he comes at you in that facet. Now, the next time it comes, Melissa, it's going to be a different way, different spin, and you'll have to fight him on the same ground again, on different circumstances.
But it still goes back to being obedient to
exactly.
God.
Exactly. Amen. I mean, that's exactly what it's about. It is that obedience. Go ahead.
So it was just, it was different for me, and it felt good. And
amen.
It just reiterates that relationship and me getting closer to God and being in the Word and turning to Him. Not to let, as you said, all that mumble jumble, the devil getting that demon speaking, and then my voice and all of that confusion going on, it's not going to get me anywhere but down the hill. If I just stay still and pray and get in the Word and turn it over to God, it's all going to work out.
Amen.
But I have to be obedient, and I have to be diligent in doing it. Because if I gave in to that demon and I gave in to my own feelings, I would probably be a wreck. And I don't want that in my life.
Come on.
And
so praise God.
Amen.
It's all about many of the times when we feel that we are in our darkest moment, or there's something that happens in our life where we sit down and we just start shaking our head and we say, God, why now? Or why did this happen? And You falter, you stop, you worry, you fret. And like what you said, this is a moment of testing of faith. Because what's God's Word say? God's Word says in Hebrews that faith is the substance of things not seen. So it's the hope of not being able to see. You can't see what's going to happen, but you have hope that what you can't see is going to happen. You have hope that things will be the best for God and God's will. So I would encourage you to continue to pray in the situation that you're in. I'd also encourage you to pray for God's will to be accomplished in this situation, amen, no matter what that may be, and that you accept God's will for whatever it is. What we do is that we sometimes will worry, we'll fret over something, and then what we'll do is we'll set it off over here in the corner, and we'll set it down, and we'll keep our eye on it. And what it is over in the corner is, boy, I sure hope that this turns out this way. And this way sometimes might be beneficial for me in the way I think it's going to be beneficial. So I let it sit there, and I keep it in the corner, and I keep my eye on it. But God, I have faith. Whatever you want to do, I'll accept. And I keep looking over in that corner. And I keep, it's like the cookie in the jar. I want it, and it's in the jar. I can't actually reach it. I can't get in there. Maybe I put a chair up there to get it. So I think what we need to do when we pray is that sometimes we have to remain neutral. There are other times where we claim the victory of healing when someone is sick or when someone has a disease. We claim the victory of healing. We believe it. We lay hands on that person can be healed, and God comes through and he does it. God has mercy upon those whom he has mercy upon. But in a situation where we don't know what the outcome may be in the faction of your life or where it's at right now with what you were talking about, I would say, Lord, I accept your will for whatever it may be. If it's good, if it's bad, if it's indifferent, it doesn't matter. I accept your will because I know you will take care of me. And amen. So then you are being obedient, and the faith of God's will, of what it is for his will is for your life. No matter, you don't know what that is yet, but you will know when God reveals it to you as the steps go forward throughout each day, and as the days turn into weeks and months and what have you, you'll know what God's will is as he reveals it to you as time goes through. And another important thing to do is not to worry or to fret. Don't keep that portion of that what that will or what you hope for is in the corner, what you hope for what it is. Because sometimes we are selfish with what we think we want. And I'm not saying this applies to you one at all. This is an experience of what's happened with me. And I'm not saying this is you, Missy, at all. I'm preaching at me right now. What I did is I put that over there in that corner, and I kept my eye on it. I kept my eye on it. Oh, Lord, I pray for your will to be done, and I accept it, whatever it is. But I'm thinking, oh, well, I've got this. This is what the Lord's going to give me this over here. And what happened is that, and it's happened time and time and time and time again in my life, that the Lord didn't give me what I wanted. He gave me what I needed.
Come on. That's it right there.
So I encourage you to pray for God's will and be obedient in the Word and read his Word and be obedient to him and continue to move forward with whatever it is that you need to do, and be joyful and cheerful and not even have a care and the fret in the world, because if your Father feeds the sparrows, he's going to take care of you.
Amen.
Amen.
I got a script. Michael, I have a scripture that goes along with what you were saying over in Hebrews. It says here in Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, I have made thee a father over many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. You've got to be speaking the word of God of truth to your situation. You've got to speak to your situation. That's what you will create. You will create or destruct a situation by what you say.
And I think, and Missy, I know that when Mike was touching on tonight, he was touching on the prosperity gospel and touching on these preachers who preached the bling bling and all the money and laying the money on the altars and stuff. And then we hear preachers on television that will say, you know, you command this, you name this, in the name of Jesus, I command that my finances increase by $100,000 per year.
Blab it and grab it.
Yeah.
I think that there's so much emphasis today on how much we make.
Exactly. And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go right ahead.
And I'm not going to say that I don't worry about taking care of, you know, the roof over my head and my own bills and things like that. Sure. But the one thing that I found today of looking at it all is I had been talking about going back to college and to better myself in the field that I am of serving others. But I'm I did put in my application and sent it off to the college, if that's what it's going to be. But I'm not dipping my hands in the bucket. This is for God to decide.
Amen.
God will show me. And you could say it wasn't the best time for this to happen, but you know what? He's pulled through every other time.
That's right.
Usually when it looks the worst, the most bleakest, and then the enemy's saying, I got you in checkmate, Melissa. You're not going to go do nothing. Mm-hmm. That's when God moves you out of checkmate. He'll never leave you, Melissa Crabtree, Michael Parker, Mike Bradford, or any of his kids that are truly wholeheartedly being obedient unto him. He will never leave you in checkmate.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that. But it was a wonderful feeling to finally not be caught up. It was to not give in to that demon and to my own feelings and to my own reactions and just say, no, I'm not going there. I'm going to turn it over to God. I am going to be obedient to God. What an amazing feeling.
Amen. It's called victory. Victory is mine.
And it is.
Amen. You can, you know, you can, it's not a blab it and grab it deal. It's you got to be obedient. See, here again, I'll speak on this since Michael was hitting on it. You got me going. The blab it and grab it group, you blab it and grab it, and guess what? It usually ends up got holes in the bag every time because there's no character, there's no godly character, there's no stability of God in you, working in or through your ministry or in you personally. Whoever you may be out there, the blab it and grab it crew. You know, this is not what it's about. It's about walking in a holy lifestyle before the Lord, being obedient, the best of your ability. Yeah, we're all going to bump our head on bump our forehead, smash it on a coffee table as we're going down. But guess what? Like I said earlier, I'm not going to keep sitting there whining and kicking my legs in a spiritual tender tantrum because it didn't go my way. I'm going to do it, just accept it. Because here again, I'll say this, Paul and Silas, when they got thrown into prison, they didn't get into fisticuff city. They didn't start cussing each other out in a jail cell. No, they started singing praises to God because they knew no matter what they were in, they were walking in God's perfect will. Not his submissive will, but God's perfect will for where they're supposed to be and what they're doing. And what was the result of all that? The jailer and his whole house got born again. Yeah. That was the whole purpose of him getting thrown in jail.
And so we see how God's how our faith, God doesn't test us, but how our faith is increased in measure, and how we endure even unto death. I mean, the entire book of Hebrews is about all the saints who never seen the promise, and all of them went forward, all of them believed, all of them continued to walk enlightened of the promise of Old Testament saints, of the promise of the land of Israel, the promise of a Redeemer coming, and then stepping into the New Testament with Christ coming on the scenes and then his ministry. It truly is what we have to do. And it's not, like you said, Mike, earlier this evening, it's not always a bed of roses. As a matter of fact, I mean, it's a lot easier to live in the world and just completely turn your back on Christ himself. You don't have
to do your own thing.
Do your own thing. A lot of folks, that's why they're so hung up in doing it. It's real easy. You don't have to fight or fret. You don't have to do nothing. Everything is there, and there's no resemblance of hopelessness. It's just that when we reach a level, tonight you were speaking to alcoholics and drug addicts. When we finally reach a level where we've hit rock bottom, and we really do wake up and smell the roses, and we see just how hopeless our situation is, that in our weakness it turns to strength when we accept Christ. And there Amen. there is victory for alcoholics and drug addicts this evening. There is victory through Christ. And
Amen.
Mike, you're living proof. I'm living proof myself.
Amen.
Drugs, alcohol, you name it. Both of us have been down the road very yep. hard. And we're both living proof that Christ can heal. God can forgive, and he can lead and direct.
That's right.
And take your life and change it completely around and live for him and give him honor, praise, and glory so that others can come into the kingdom. So,
Amen.
Amen.
You have anything else, Michael?
I don't.
Melissa, do you have anything to end this broadcast on a note?
No.
Nope. Okay. Well, I thank again everybody for being here this evening on Justin TV. That you're listening to us over on Justin TV. I thank you for being here or consumingfireradio.com. On the live broadcast tab at the top of the upper left-hand corner of the page. I thank you for being here, and just we'll see you again. Stay tuned for further events of broadcasting that'll be taking place in the upcoming future. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. If not, I'll see you on the other side.
Amen. Once again, thanks for tuning in to Consuming Fire Radio this evening with Pastor Mike Bradford. Also, if you've not tuned in to Consuming Fire Radio, you're at justin.tv, Consuming Fire. And then, of course, on Prophecies of the End Times and Fire of the Holy Ghost Broadcasting Network. We also place this information on facebook.com with under Consuming Fire Radio. Just do a search inside the search bar for it. And we thank you so much for listening. Our broadcast will end after this song.
That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Like a flood, his mercy.